So take your Bible and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. With that in mind, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. On Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of the Revelation chapter by chapter. And I know these thoughts have been mentioned several times. But on Sunday morning, the days and times we live in, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is coming. And I hope I don't offend you, and well, if I do, then, well, we living in a world where everybody's offended about something. But when you don't know which bathroom to go into, the Lord is coming. And, there's a lot of things I could say that I'll refrain from that in case I want to run for something in the future. Because you know they'll be playing these tapes. But anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. If you're there, say amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I'm glad I have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of y'all believe that? Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for the service we already had. A good spirit already. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help me not mess it up. And Lord, we'll edify and we'll try to encourage. And Lord, we don't know when your coming is. Have no idea. But Lord, we know it'll be soon. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here it says in verse number 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We go to the gravesides of many different people, and sometimes we say to ourselves, how in the world can you get through going through that funeral home and doing the things if you didn't know the Lord? How can anybody? And that is what this verse is saying. We have hope. We have hope that if we put our loved ones in the ground, that one day the Lord, our blessed hope, and the soon coming King will raise us up together and we'll sit together and meet Him in the air and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Yes, it's a sad time to plant our loved ones in the ground. Yes, it's a sad time to lose those. But my friend, we have hope. If we have Jesus Christ, we have hope that we'll see them again. Boy, I'm glad for that, aren't you? In Concord, Massachusetts, the old North Bridge, April the 19th, 1776, a shot was fired that sparked the Revolutionary War. That war bought us our freedom of the United States of America. That shot rang out. History says it was a shot that was heard around the world. They even said King George heard it over there in Great Britain. He heard it and he sent some more troops, but he didn't realize that some old country boys from Georgia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Delaware was some old country boys that wasn't going to put up with a tyrant government. So everybody in here, I mean, we need more room anyway, so let me try to see if we can make some more room this morning. If you don't have a gun, you need one. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. We'll find you one. Amen. You would be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, at the women in this church that have guns in their purse right now. I just hope they can shoot. Hallelujah. Patrick Henry rose up and said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Another great man to mention during the time of history was a man, John Hancock, famous for his large signature on the Declaration of Independence. And when he signed that, all of those men that signed that had death warrants put on them. John Hancock says, "I'm going to write it so big they won't even need glasses to see my name." He says, "I'll write it." That's where we get the phrase, "Put your John Hancock right here. Don't be ashamed." And he put his name, and he says, "Let them double the warrant on my head. Now I'm going to write it real big so they can see it." And it was known as the shot that was heard around the world. A lot of shouts in the Bible. I went through the Bible and started looking at some of the shouts that happened in the Bible. And I found over there, remember in Joshua's day, they were running around the walls of Jericho, and all of a sudden they shouted on that particular day, and all the walls came tumbling down. There was a shout that went out when David killed Goliath. There was a shout when the Ark of the Covenant came back into the camp of the children of Israel. There was a shout, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 21, where Jesus rode through Jerusalem on that donkey, they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." John chapter number 11, there was a shout at the graveside of Lazarus, and Lazarus came forth. Jesus shouted on the cross and cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And when he died, the veil in the temple rent from top to bottom, and the Bible says many of the graves were opened when he shouted. I can't wait. There's a lot of shouts in the Bible, but there's no greater shout than the shout that I'm going to tell you about this morning. There might have been a shot heard around the world, but there's a shout coming that'll be heard around the world. In the world of religious confusion, where many false prophets have risen, and they say, "We need to quit looking, and we need to quit looking." I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not looking for a sign. I'm listening for a sound, and it's the sound of the trumpet. You say, "Preacher, how do you know in the midst of uncertain sounds, how do you know that we'll listen for the right sound?" Well, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Mary knew when he called her name. Lazarus knew when he called his name. Zacchaeus knew when he called his name. Hallelujah. And you're going to know when he calls your name. Let me give you four quick things. Number one, I want to show you the dissension of the Savior. You'll see that in verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." When notice that the Lord's coming Himself. In the Bible, when God wanted to deliver a people from a wicked world and destroy it by a flood, He sent Noah. When God wanted to start a nation, He called a man and sent a man by the name of Abraham. When He wanted to take that nation out of Egyptian bondage, He sent a man named Moses. When He wanted to write the Psalms, He sent a man named David. When He wanted to erect a temple, He sent a man named Solomon. When He wanted prophets, He sent Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Malachi, and Hosea. When He wanted to announce His first coming, He sent a man by the name of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. When He wanted to call out a group, called the bride, the church of the living God, He called a man by the name of Paul. But ladies and gentlemen, when He gets ready to call out His body, His building, His bride, He's not going to send Noah. He ain't sending Abraham. He ain't going to send Moses or John the Baptist. The Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. whom the angels have praised before the foundation of the world. This is the one that was born of the virgin womb. This is the one that lived a sinless life. This is the one that healed blind Bartimaeus. This is the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the one that straightened out crippled legs and cleansed the leper. This is the one that prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the one that cried, "It is finished," on the cross of Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, he ain't sending nobody else to do it. He's not going to send the Republicans or the Democrats to do it. He's going to do it himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "How do you know you're going to heaven?" I said, "I'm going to heaven because I'm saved." They said, "How do you know you're going to heaven because you're saved?" I said, "I'm following the one who knows the way." You said, "How you know you're following the one who's..." The Bible says the Lord descends from heaven. Well, he came from heaven, and then he died. He went back to heaven. He came back down here, met with the disciples. He went back to heaven. And so after three trips, he ought to know the way. And so you say, "Preacher, how do you know?" I'm following the one that's done been there and done it. You say, "Why did he leave us like this?" He left us so he could send us Holy Spirit of God, so he could indwell every believer. One of these days, the Lord's coming. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel. That is a military term, the voice. It's a shout of command when one sets up camp. It's not a permanent situation. It's just a stopping point on this journey. You don't build a foundation under your tent. You just drive down stakes. And in the morning, the captain gets up and he says, "Strike the tent, strike the tent. Roll up the flaps, roll up the ropes. We're getting out of here." Well, one of these days, the body says, "We have this tabernacle made of flesh." And one of these days, the captain's going to stand up and say, "Hey, pull the stakes, roll up the flaps. We're getting up out of here. I hope you didn't put a foundation here. We're just pilgrims passing through this place. We ain't planning on staying long." Hallelujah. Well, some of you visiting with us, I'm just sort of a little worked up today. Our loved ones, some of our loved ones are trapped in bodies of sickness, trapped in bodies of disease and discouragement. But one of these days, the Lord's going to release them out of that when he comes. Now, young people, you're not going to believe this. But in the Bible days, they didn't have walkie-talkies, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have Facebook. And it didn't have text messages. But in the Bible days, they sent messages by the sound of a trumpet. And a certain sound that it would make, there was three different sounds. One of the sounds would be called to go to war. Another sound would say, "It's time to come worship." So this morning, you remember the old church, some of the old churches still do, they have a bell. We had one at Trinity. They used to ring that bell between Sunday school and preaching. They'd ring that bell. It's a call to worship. And then the other one was when they got ready to have a wedding. Hallelujah. Don't get ahead of me now. So it was time for war. They made a certain sound. Everybody knew that was a war sound. Or it was a time to come to church, worship. They heard that sound. It was a text message from a trumpet. And then the other one was when they got ready to go to a wedding, it would be a certain sound. And these three stages, notice the Bible says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice and the trump. So this thing's going to signify war on this world. It's going to signify to us call to worship. And then it's going the other one, the voice of God, the trump of God, is going to say, "It's wedding time." Hallelujah. Well, stay in your seat. Don't get excited. We just talking about going to a place that shall never, you'll never grow old. The descension of the Savior, but number two, the deliverance of the saint. You got the deliverance of the saved, the descension of the Savior, and there's going to be a resurrection day, one of these days. The Bible says right here, says the Lord Himself is going to send from heaven the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, notice the word in Christ, that means everybody in Christ, that means saved. That means out at the graveyard, those that are saved in Christ, we're going to rise first. You say, preacher, who are those? Well, that means the Baptists are all coming up first. You say, how do you know it's the Baptists? Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But here, friend, this is what it says. You say, why are they going to rise first? They got 6 more foot to go than we do. And the dead is going to rise first. And in the Jewish economy, there's the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus Christ was the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 or so says Jesus Christ is the first fruit. He was the first one that had to raise from the dead and go to heaven. And so in the Jewish economy, when somebody had a field of wheat, they would go out there and they would bring back just the first fruit, just a handful. And they would come back to the household and they would say, "Whoo! Look at this. We're going to have a bumper crop this year. This is just what's out there. There's a whole bunch more to come." Oh, you ain't got it yet, but hang on. The Lord, when He went to heaven, He was the first fruit of the resurrection. He told the Father, "I'm just what's here. There's a whole lot more coming behind me." Hallelujah. Well, I thought it was more interesting than that. Just a little bit ago, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Roanoke, Virginia preaching, and I wasn't too far, Brother Charles, from the grave of B.R. Lakin. He's buried there, the same place Jerry Falwell's buried there in Liberty University campus. And B.R. Lakin, we used to hear him, still have his tapes. And not too far from that, in Greenville, South Carolina, there's a fellow by the name of Oliver B. Green buried out there. Oliver B. Green, you probably heard him on the radio, still do. Being dead yet speaketh. You hear him on the radio doing those commentaries. And in that same graveyard in Greenville, South Carolina, there is a man buried out there named Harold Seitler. Tabernacle Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina. Not too far from that, from his grave is a grave by Dr. J. Harold Smith that preached God's three deadlines. And then not too far on the backside, I've been there, on the backside of that cemetery, there's a grave out there that's about 6 inches wider than everybody else's. And it's the grave of Billy Kelly. He was 400 pounds if he was an ounce. And his grave's about 6 inches wider than everybody else's. He's the one that preached, "The best is yet to come." And he would sing at Billy Kelly's funeral. They marched him down, all his family's in there, and they marched him in this casket down the Tabernacle Baptist Church, the center aisle, as Billy Kelly sang over the loudspeakers, "I'll meet you in the morning by the bright riverside." Hallelujah. They did his funeral. The Rochester sang, and Dr. Joe Arthur preached the message. And then, they got ready to roll him out at the end of the service. You can see this they got his funeral service on the internet. I've watched it 100 times. And that whole place packed full. And he sung through the whole service. I'm talking about he sung Prodigal Son. And he wrote that, by the way. And then they got ready to roll him out. And when they got ready to roll him out, it come on, him singing, "Swing wide the gates, I'm coming home. Swing wide the gates, I'm coming home." And I'm telling you what, I had a Babdecostal fit. I'm talking about, there's a cold chill running up my left leg, and I'm Baptist, and that don't ever happen. But I'm telling you what, there's coming a day when you're standing out in that graveyard and the dead in Christ will rise first. And Oliver B. Green says, I told you it was so. Billy Kelly says, the roses will bloom again. Mays Jackson gets up and says, I'm telling you, it's the truth of the grace of an almighty God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Can you imagine standing out in the graveyard when the Lord comes and the dead in Christ? I'm talking about it's going to be a good day for the rag man. I'm telling you, he can get up on some good clothes that day. I'm telling you, resurrection morning, one of these days. Hey, mamas, let me help you. There's some babies that are going to be up there. There's some babies. I don't know how many. But there's a bunch that wasn't wanted. There was a bunch that was miscarried. But I'm telling you, them babies are going to be up there. You say, preacher, I got a boy laying over there in the foreign field somewhere. The Lord knows where he's at. It's a shout going to be heard around the world. You say, oh, my daddy, he's laying out at sea. They had to bury him at sea. Hey, the sea will give up the dead which are in it. You say, preacher, they may have a man on the moon when the Lord comes. Well, he's just going to be a whole lot closer than everybody else. The shout will be heard around the world. And I'm telling you, it'll be heard from hell to earth to the portals of glory, the shout that's going to be heard around the world. Not only is it going to be a resurrection of the dead, there's going to be a rapture of the living. Those of us that are left here still breathing, we're going to follow right in behind them and go on up to be with the Lord. Thus, those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now you say, preacher, the word rapture is not in the Bible. I know it's not in the Bible. Neither is air conditioning, but I'm glad we got it. It don't feel like it's working today. And neither is Sunday school in the Bible. But we have it. And let me just say something. Neither is neckties. I'm still trying to find an excuse to pull off a necktie. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, that's all I knew. When you went to church, you put on suit and tie and you gave God your best. That's all. When I growing up, my daddy mowed the yard in a tie. Hallelujah. I mean, that's just what you did. But the word was caught up. Now, I don't ever do this. My daddy's supposed to get mad at me. He's supposed to get mad at me so bad. And I don't never do this. But I just found this interesting. Y'all ready for this? Y'all really fixing to think something now. The Greek word for getting caught up is the same. It's harpazo, which is where we get our English word harpooning. And when they harpoon a whale, they shoot an arrow and it's got a cord attached to it. And it shoots in that whale and they pull him out with strict force. Well, one of these days we're going to be harpooned. And it's going to be descend from heaven, boom, shoo, gone. You say, that's fast. I'm telling you, it's faster than you realize. Because I like fast things. I like to drive fast. Brother Phil, I believe with all of my heart we need to do away with driver's license, speed limits, every man for himself. And we have some policemen in this room right now going, we watching you, buddy. Look, if you can't drive and it, look, get out of the way. It's called the fast lane. Coming back on the interstate, two semi trucks driving side by side. Neither one of them can pass each other. had to pull a car over and get saved again. Somebody help me. I was having a panic attack. It's called a fast lane. And I've flown in airplanes going 500 miles an hour in an airplane. But listen, when the Lord comes, He's not going to come and get us in a fast boat. He's not going to come get us in a fast Mercedes. He's not going to come. We're not even going to fly out of here in an airplane. It's going to be a plain air ride when we get up out of here. And I'm telling you, the Lord's going to come. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, face to face with the Savior. You got the descension of the Savior. You got the deliverance of the saved. But listen, here we go. There's the doom of the sinner. Listen, friend, if you're not saved, I promise you, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you to make some decision. I'm not trying to pull your hand behind your back and make you do something you don't want to do. Because God don't want anybody in heaven that don't want to be there. No matter what the Calvinists say. God don't want anybody in heaven that don't want to be there. And so this is what I'm telling you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and He does not live inside of your heart, and there's never been a time and a place where you've asked Him whether you were at church, you can get saved other places besides church. It doesn't matter if it was a church, at your home, in your car, wherever you was at your bedside. It don't matter. There needs to be a time and a place where you can go back in your mind. You may not know the date. You may not know the time of day it was. You may not know the month or the year. But there needs to be a time and a place in the back of your mind where you say, yes, that right there is where my mind always goes back to, that I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come my heart and save me. If there's not a time and a place that you can go back to, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to be left sitting here. And I'm not trying to scare you. I promise I'm not. But I can tell you, whatever you watch on television to scare you, that's not real. This is real. People say, "Why are you just trying to scare our kids?" Hey, listen, if I can scare them into heaven, wouldn't you want to see them there? And it's a whole lot better than some of the stuff you let them watch anyway. Hallelujah. So don't leave and say, "The preacher's trying to scare somebody." We're not trying to scare. We're trying to put you into heaven. And if you are left here, let me tell you, I'm gonna just shoot straight with you. That's why we have a lot of people come here, because we shoot straight with you. If the Lord comes and all the saved leave out of here, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. I already know the future. You're going to get out of your seat, and you're going to run as fast as you can. You're going to knock plants over, bottles over. You're going to pick speakers up and throw them. You're going to be down here at this altar as fast as you can, saying, "Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. Oh, Lord, please, I should have listened. Oh, Lord, I should have. Oh, Lord, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to wait too long. Lord, please save." It's too late. You better get ready before the trumpet sounds. And it could happen before this service is over. I don't know how much time we got. But I'm telling you, and I was sort of being, but I'm serious when I say this. Listen, folks, we're living in days that we've never seen. Our grandparents and great-grandparents would roll over in their grave if they knew some of the stuff we're voting on in America. They would have swore, they would have bet their last dollar we'd have never seen this day. And we're now seeing it. And the book of the Revelation is becoming very much alive. So if you're going to say, they've been saying it for years. Oh, yeah, but we ain't seen this in years. The Lord's coming. And if you get left behind, it's not going to be good. Because you're going to be faced with the mark of the beast. And we've seen that on Sunday nights. And I'm not going to go into all of that. But look, if you want to hear about it, come back tonight. But I'm telling you, we're going to be in the book of Revelation tonight. But look, before any of that, you need to get saved. Because the Lord could come this afternoon before we even get in the book of Revelation tonight. In December, the Union troops were about to stomp out Vicksburg during the Civil War. A snowstorm came. The soldiers were caught out in the middle of the field. And so what they did, they laid flat. They covered themselves up with their trench coats. Well, the next morning, General Lee stood on what's known today as Lee's Hill. He looked across the battlefield. All he saw was 6 inches of snow. He turned and says, "I thought we had a great army out there in the field. Where are they at?" The bugle boy says, "General, I'm not sure, but you may play something on this bugle and see if they'll show up." General Lee said, "Well, I don't see them. They said they're the toughest out here. They don't look like they're out here nowhere." The bugle boy, play something. He played a tune that they all knew. And they all, like an army, raised up out of that snow, brushed off their trench coats, saw the general there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day out there in that graveyard where the bugle boy is going to play. And you look out at that graveyard, you ain't going to see nobody. But when that bugle plays, they're going to brush off of that dirt. When they see the general. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going and the Lord's going to descend from heaven. And we'll take off of these clothes. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We'll lay these old clothes down. And we'll pick up our robe of righteousness. Given by the only one that's worthy to give it. And that's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, He's coming very, very soon. Are you ready? Ready or not? Y'all remember playing that game, Ready or Not? Here I come. The Lord is getting ready to play that. And it ain't no game with Him. Ready or not, here He comes. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning.